Greetings, my friends, and welcome to The Paula Gordon Show, Conversations with People at the Leading Edge. I'm Paula. What makes us genuinely safe? Our guest, Christopher Dickey, shows us the many faces of security. He's an award-winning Newsweek bureau chief and reporter. He's covered many of the world's hotspots focused on counterterrorism and espionage. And he is author of Securing the City, Inside America's Best Counterterror Force, the NYPD. Mr. Dickey reports there's compelling evidence that the United States' greatest defense against criminal acts of terror is the spirit of the country itself. Don't confuse this with being naive, he insists.
That has to do with the spirit of the country. I mean, you don't want to sound kind of airy-fairy talking about this, because you've got bad guys with guns and bombs and doing all kinds of crazy stuff out there. But the truth is, the best thing you've got going for you is the community that rejects those kinds of actions. And, you know, in telling the history of terrorism in New York, there are a lot of examples before 9/11, too. There was one very conspicuous one when 1997, where two Palestinians decided they were going to blow themselves up on the B train under the East River. And they were living in a shack on Park Slope in Brooklyn, and they had a couple of flatmates. And one of them was a young Egyptian guy who had won the lottery for a green card. And all he wanted to do was build his future in America. They showed him the bomb, and he went out on the street looking for a cop. It took him 7 or 8 hours trying to convince the police there was a problem here. But the bottom line is, he believed in the dream. And he did not want to be implicated in this act of terror. And he stopped it from happening. And if he had not done what he did, then those two guys, one of them would have blown himself up, and when the rescue workers came, the second one would have blown himself up, and you would have had a situation that was a hell of a lot more grotesque and bloody and horrible than even what happened in London in 2005.
Christopher Dickey is Newsweek magazine's Paris bureau chief and Middle East regional editor, having served as their Cairo bureau chief. Previously, he was bureau chief for the Washington Post, covering Central America. His Newsweek online column, Shadowland, is a weekly update on counterterrorism, espionage, and the Middle East. Mr. Dickey's growing number of books now includes Securing the City. Bill Russell and I were drawn to Mr. Dickey's sophisticated sense of what makes for genuine security and the unrelenting tensions between protecting our civil liberties and keeping the bad guys at bay. His discoveries and insights whetted our appetites for this conversation.
Christopher Dickey, I absolutely love words. And when coming across Securing the City, Inside America's Best Counterterror Force, the New York Public, the New York Police Department, NYPD.
New York Public Library, it's a great
story. I was headed that way.
It's intelligence, you know.
The idea of security was one of those word things that I thought, well, let's see, where is he going with this? Oh, wait a minute, it's Christopher Dickey. He probably is going to tell me about security in ways that are not necessarily the New York Public Library. But the idea of security is a wonderful idea that has many facets, that's more than just shoot 'em ups. Yes?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that was what interested me, is how do you make people in a city, in any urban environment, but New York maybe being the most challenging urban environment in the world, how do you make them feel safe as they walk the street? How do you make them feel confident that they're not going to be mugged or blown up or vaporized in today's world? And how do you make them not only feel confident, but how do you actually make them safer? So it's not just a question of illusion and delusion, but a reality of a world that's safer for them. And that was essentially the question that I tried to address in writing the book. The prologue is all about that.
Amory Lovins, who founded the Rocky Mountain Institute and is one of the world's great energy experts, he calls himself a recovering physicist, I think was the first one who really clued me into this. And this was, I think, before 9/11, and people started saying, ooh, security. But he was very clear that until we start getting some fundamentals in our infrastructure and in our society, more largely writ, until we start really thinking carefully about that, that we won't be secure. He then goes into how we need to think about energy and how we need to move into a different kind of a future than simply being locked into, in this case, oil or nukes. So the notion of helping people think in a broad way, again, comes to this. And then it reads like a novel. How'd you do that?
I'm just an incredibly talented writer.
That must be it.
Yeah.
It's
I don't know. I mean, I've written 6 books, and I've tried to write probably 12. And the only books that I can finish are the ones where I start writing them, and the storytelling becomes compelling enough so that I don't want to put them down. And when that's happening, I guess it works. I mean, people seem to respond as if it does.
Well, it gets better and better and better as you go forward.
It's also an extraordinary story.
Yeah.
You don't even have to create the characters. They sort of create themselves.
No, they're great characters. I mean, I had met Ray Kelly back in about 2000. I was working on a story about the links between the organized crime and cigarette manufacturers all around the world. And just a parenthesis, it was a hard story to get published because nobody is surprised by anything that the cigarette companies do. If you said they were injecting infants with nicotine, people would go, yeah, it sounds like the cigarette companies. So anyway, when I was working on that, he was at Customs. He was at the Treasury Department, having previously been police commissioner in New York. And we just hit it off because he's got an extraordinary personality. For one thing, he has a personality of someone who, through his own charisma, makes you feel secure.
Huh.
He has that effect on people. He has a kind of a confidence and a competence that's very reassuring. But he's also interested in just lots of different things. So, in the course of our conversation, he said, "You live in Paris?" I said, "Yeah." He says, "Well, I love to get over to Paris. I get over there, my wife and I get over there as much as we possibly can." And when he left Treasury and went into the private sector working with Bear Stearns in their security department, which would normally be a time when you'd lose contact with somebody like him. We didn't lose contact because he was coming back and forth to Paris. So when I saw what he had done with the NYPD over time, as I had the chance to start to write about the issue of terrorism, I got back in touch with Kelly to see if he would cooperate with me. And eventually he did. And now it's very interesting to see how people respond, when he talks about the book, which he's done on a couple of occasions, that he still projects that confidence. New Yorkers really love this guy for precisely that sense of security that he imparts. Of course, the other guy who's just absolutely riveting is David Cohen, who was the much-hated head of the clandestine services of the CIA, whose career had been one in which he was always the outsider on the inside of the agency. The agency was crumbling, and his career was flourishing until he took over the clandestine services in the mid-1990s. And among his failed projects was the effort to overthrow Saddam Hussein that was conducted by the Clinton administration. So that when he finally left the agency, first he was assigned to New York as a way to phase out, and then he went into the private sector in 2000. I think he must have looked back on his career without much gratification or pleasure. And the story of how these two guys came back into their careers in 2002, Kelly and then Kelly hiring Cohen, and reinvented the work that they did, police work and intelligence work, and the way those fit together, seemed to me a really compelling story, and they are great characters.
You talk about granularity and context, and I think we would like to come back to
It
seems to me that's just right at the heart of what this is all about.
And it will be when we come back, as he takes a deep breath, getting ready for the next segment. Be with us. We'll return in a moment.